T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is the Bernstein and McKnight Show here on 670 The Score. We're going from 9 until 1 today. Happy to have you with us. I'm Connor McKnight, in for Dan Bernstein for a third and final day. You have made it this long, sir, and you know you've made it, Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune, when the entire Open is full of your cogent argument about Mitchell Trubisky heading into his second season in the NFL.
And then they play that lie about it being intelligent analysis.
It's just,
but it is a revolution, though.
It's juxtaposed against one against the other.
It is
a revolution, and we're proud to be a part of it. It's the Bernstein and McKnight Show. You can find us and join us and be here on the show with us all morning long in a couple of different ways. You're going to want to, because in the early part of the morning, here is your kind of dodging work or going in late, which I hope you're doing on what's going to be a very hot and nice Friday here in the city. You've got a chance to hop in on a couple of phone calls, 312-644-6767. That's the way you get a hold of the show. You can text as well, 67011. Standard message and data rates may apply on the texting. You can get in on the Twitter feed at Bernstein_MCK. You can find us individually at C1 McKnight. He is at Rich_Campbell. You email the show too, Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios this morning, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. You can see us, watch us, feel us, be with us at watch670thescore.com. We got all three cameras wired up here. We're waving. Rich is wearing his Orioles
T-shirt. Got the Angry Bird T-shirt.
That's the Angry Bird T-shirt.
This is the Angry Bird logo.
You're going to be wearing that until Manny Machado is traded?
This is how I feel about the season.
That's
very angry. Look at that scowl.
You've probably been wearing that for the last 2 or 3 years.
This is a great logo.
It really is. The Orioles logo is a good one. That logo specifically, Brooks Robinson for me. I know he didn't wear it necessarily, but it just kind of feels very Brooks Robinson-esque. You can download the radio.com app to stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook, where you can like the 670 The Score page. You just go ahead and like it, and then you're part of the conversation for eternity, because that's how long Facebook's going to last. Coming up on the show, like I said, a little bit of time for you here in the morning. We get guest heavy in the last hour or so because everybody's on the West Coast, it feels like. Jay Zawoski is not. He's not in today. We're going to hang out with him at 10 o'clock. We'll talk about that. I know. It's fine. Jay, of course, takes off the day during the summer where there's the most hockey news, or at least the most news about his erstwhile favorite player, Marian Hossa, who is near and dear to his heart. Mine too. We'll check in with Jay about the Blackhawks at 10 o'clock. 11 o'clock, the midday midway. 11:40, Sahadev Sharma, who covers the Cubs for The Athletic, is going to hop on the show. He did a terrific and dense deep dive into what's up with Anthony Rizzo on The Athletic. We will read it word for word. We won't. We'll have him explain it at 11:40. Jonah Carey does our breathless baseball take at noon. And Paul Tenorio, a buddy of yours, Rich, who covers MLS and World Cup soccer on The Athletic as well, because everyone does write for The Athletic, except you.
Except me.
Chicago Tribune, a notable scribe. We'll check in with him, because I've had much more World Cup fever this summer than I thought I would.
You are looking French.
I've watched quite a bit of soccer. It's the mustache.
Yeah, that is.
This painfully thin mustache here that I'm sporting. It's very French, and so is the final. It's France and Croatia, and I think there's a few more people in this town that have watched World Cup soccer than we'd imagined prior. Our producers on the show, in for Jay Zawoski, it's Tony Gill.
The type of personality has changed. Just millennials in any line of work. This is not just baseball clubhouses, right?
No doubt.
Don't you have to figure that out? Don't you have to adjust?
Coach your players. KYP. Okay, I was like, coach your players, period. Next thought, KYP, a notable acronym here on the station for the better part of a decade, invented by a host who has many credentials and better than I. KYP is know your personnel. clearly when I said it, though, it did not sound
cheer players.
It did not sound that way, and I'm just making myself look like an idiot.
To be fair, this is the way you speak. So when you put a period a lot of times, it still sounds just like the regular way you are speaking in the middle of a sentence.
All right. Apparently my birthday is over and we're moving on. That is Rick Camp. He's on the board. Dave, what's your question for Rich Campbell?
Hello, guys. Yeah, my question is about Juwan Howard. When Nagy was first hired, there was a lot of talk, even on your station, about, you know, I'm not using him. What could they get in trade for him? And I think he's a stud, top 10 back. What do you think their plans are for him this year?
For Juwan Howard?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We did not, let the record show, we did not flay him, though we could have.
Okay. And we sort of did silently across the
there was an acknowledgement
here, yeah.
that was wrong. Although I think, listen, and I've said this about Matt Nagy's offense from the get-go.
Pick and roll.
If you have good players, yeah, go to the
you
bucket.
You can run that pick and
throw
roll.
Throw it down. Be multiple in your sets. He's not just a 3-and-D guy. He can run in between the tackles for you, too. When you find good players, you make them work in a system regardless of what it looks like. The executioner is Ray Diaz.
My whole thing is just find your personal happy space between that excitement and healthy skepticism.
Happy place. Happy place.
Make you feel better, make you feel worse.
Better.
We had Rich Campbell going to his happy place yesterday.
I need someone to follow me around all day and record my greatest hits and just play them back to me at the end.
Believe me, it's less fun than you'd think.
Well, because I'm not messing up the first letter of the name of the word coach.
What I've got here is pretty flimsy. Oh, the drops, sir. The list is long and distinguished. So we've got a couple of things to get to early on in the show. And I think, you know, it starts with a conversation that we were having with Barry and Brian before we started our show, as we were doing transition. It is a Tyler Chatwood start. It is the final series before the All-Star break. We are, with the Cubs, very close to taking a break from this first half of the season that has been, by and large, a success. Given the record that they've been able to put up, that's not a surprise. But they have had some very surprising underperformances from a few notable players. Chris Bryant has obviously missed 17 games with a shoulder injury. Anthony Rizzo, and we'll talk to Sahadev about it a little later on in the morning, been up and down and mostly down. And when the downs have hit, they've been kind of stark. He's been able to come up with a couple of big hits, even while down. But by and large, that's a season you'd like to see more consistency out of. That said, the rotation has been a conversation point for the entirety of the season. Whether it's John Lester overperforming his peripherals, whether that's Jose Quintana and Kyle Hendricks largely underperforming and having short starts that have cost the bullpen, or Tyler Chatwood's gigantic walk rate, you've seen some questions pop up in there that have very much got you nervous. That, in addition to those issues, has been Yu Darvish not being there at all.
That probably is number one in that list, right?
I think it has to be.
Yeah, just because you paid so much for him and that was the piece that was going to make it all right. That was going to sort of set everything in place if he was the guy you bought.
He's going to be the leader of that rotation.
Yes, yeah, he would put everyone in the right slot.
If not in spirit, then in style and in substance, he was supposed to have been the leader of that rotation. John Lester is the elder statesman, right? He's the guy who you expect to be steady Eddie going through once every 5 days. Darvish was supposed to be some flash. Darvish was supposed to be impressive. He's supposed to be 13 Ks in 7 innings. You know, that kind of talent, that kind of ability, we'd seen it before. Holds like a 3.5 ERA through the AL the last handful of years. That's an impressive run. And, you know, yeah, there had been dings against him with tipping his pitches in the playoffs, but also good starts in the playoffs that people want to, you know, I guess at the very least kind of let negate a season, a career that's been in the American League and a solid one. Barry's contention is that Barry Rosner, and it's a good one, and you can listen to him on Hit and Run on Sundays, and I'm sure he's made the point then, and I'm sure he'll make it again, that the best addition the Cubs rotation, the best addition the team can make is a healthy Yu Darvish back into the rotation. And while I think that's true, you're holding on, really, is what this is. And you hear from Len Casper. You hear from guys around that team. We talked with Jed Hoyer not that long ago. What was it, Wednesday?
Yeah.
The Tyler Chatwood experience has been one that not only comes with frustration about talent that's yet to be harnessed, about stuff that can't be corralled into a strike zone, but it's also taxed members of this bullpen that has been terrific so far to start a season, that has really kind of shored you up in places that or in spots during a week of games or a series that you almost didn't deserve. You keep going to this over and over again. You keep asking Steve Cishek to come out there in the fifth and get a couple outs and then pitch into the sixth or whatever the preferred rotation or preferred run of bullpen wants to be that day for Joe Maddon. And the taxes will be paid at some point, which leads you into a deadline, which we are not too many weeks away from, not too many days away from, leads you into a deadline where you're hunting for every kind of arm you can find. That's where everybody is in this league. And you didn't want to be where everybody else was going to be heading into the trade deadline.
Well, Jed Hoyer, as it related to Darvish, said they are just going to have to wait as long as possible. Take every minute up until the trade deadline, the end of July, to see whether Darvish is going to be viable, somebody you can count on for the final 2 months. You know, okay, when you get to the end of that waiting period, there's still no guarantee. And in fact, the every day that you go without any positive progress is more reason to believe that he won't be there for you, right? And so that brings you to tonight's start. Tyler Chatwood takes his 8 walks per 9 innings to the mound. And
eight.
That is 2.5 walks worse per nine than any other pitcher who has thrown at least 70 innings. So that is a prolific control problem. And it's with all his pitches. So is it the end of the line for him? I mean, there is that sort of building sense around each one of his starts as they continue to have ugly numbers. Is this the end? Are they going to have to reach some kind of critical mass here?
I don't know what your alternatives are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is a team that has buoyed itself with an offense that has been one of the tops in the National League, if not baseball, at times. You know, I mean, there are struggles with runners in scoring position, especially in that Giants series where you saw more good things than bad, I think, despite a 1-2 trip in San Francisco. You saw more good than bad. Still, there is a struggle with runners in scoring position, which, you know, you talk to Jed, you talk to Theo, which we have here on the show. There is a firm belief, and there's always been, you know, in this community, in that kind of metric-driven community, that evens out. At some point, that has to start evening out. You see that happen. A game where you got 17 singles and you're putting up runs, 20 hits in total. You get that. But you've also had a defense that has stood up in incredible ways, whether that's Hayward playing right after he got a couple of sun balls out of the way, Kyle Schwarber after a first week where he's lost in, what was it, Cincinnati or Atlanta, right? And just completely gone, can't find it. I mean, you've got a defense that stood up, but you cannot defend against the free pass. You cannot defend against walks. And that's the thing Chatwood, and to be quite honest, a few other starters, Hendricks and Quintana, have offered too many of when they've not been right. You hear the music, we will get into the update studio with our man Kevin Zipak.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You got the Bernstein and McKnight show here on 670 The Score. I'm Connor McKnight. Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune. He covers the Bears. In for Dan. Dan is wandering somewhere around Bemidji. He took a photo, he and his wife, as they're on their road trip, of him. It's him and her, I think their daughter, and Paul Bunyan. And blue, right? The ox is blue. Was Paul Bunyan the ox? And it's a blue ox.
You got me on that.
I can't remember the name.
Babe the
Blue Ox? That sounds right. Sure. I forget my...
Is he eating berries from a pouch?
Yeah, I don't... He's got a whole thing going on. He's testing fate.
Okay.
That's what he's doing. He's fishing for God knows what on the side of a highway. Segment brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma. Get... Knowing more stuff on the Cubs rotation in just a second here. Jason Stark had a write-up of the top and the bottom performers in the first half of Major League Baseball. But We're going to talk a little later in the show about this soccer final, this whole World Cup thing. Kevin Zipak is our resident soccer guy of the Screamers and Howlers podcast at screamershowlers.com or something like that.
I'm sure everyone's heard of it.
Everyone's.
Yes.
You've mentioned it a number of times.
No.
You've been bagging on me to watch more soccer for, I don't know, months now.
And probably years.
Probably years. Yeah. Rich is a soccer guy coming up with his days in the Washington Post, having written a lot of soccer. I've really gotten into the World Cup as it's gone, and I feel like while we have you, Kevin, not that I have had you, but what we feel about this France and Croatia. Is there more disappointment given what the end of final matchup ended up being, and that you don't have the star power into the final four, or are these teams good enough?
Well, I think France has a ton of star power. They have Paul Pogba, which is a name that most people know, plays for Manchester United. They've also got Antoine Griezmann, one of the best players in the Spanish league. They're pretty good in terms of star power. Croatia, not as much in terms of recognizable names. I think, you know, England would have been the more popular choice to advance. But Croatia, certainly going into the tournament, they were a dark horse for a lot of people. And you look at their roster and there are a couple of world-class players in terms of Luka Modric, Ivan Rakitic. Their defense has been playing really well. So not a huge surprise, really, for me that Croatia has made this run. And I think while France is the favorite for sure, the way they line up, they're basically like an all-star team. But Croatia has shown throughout this tournament that even when they're not playing well, their defense can be solid enough to be able to get it to extra time at worst and, you know, have a chance in penalties or whatever.
Kevin, a little disappointing how the bracket kind of shaped up in terms of this star power, right? I mean, you could look at
one-sided
France,
yeah.
Belgium as the potential final. You could look at Belgium-Brazil as the potential final.
Yeah.
Both of those matches, I think, would have stood up as if those were the final. You'd have thought, what a terrific end of the tournament. And now, at least you could look at both of these sides, Connor. You look at both of these sides mm-hmm. here at the end. And it should be good because Croatia's midfield has been excellent and France is exciting. I mean, I didn't even mention Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah, and he might be the best player in the whole tournament.
That's the team that brought me or kept me watching. I mean, that whole France-Argentina thing, that 4-3 final, it was an incredible game, goal after goal.
Yeah, France has been unbelievable. Yes, yeah, star power wise, excitement wise, you know, when they're building up their attack, they're as good as anybody. The bracket being a little bit uneven did kind of, give us some better matchups earlier in the tournament.
Kept England in it longer,
yeah,
for sure.
Certainly. I mean, England, everybody was kind of getting on the England train as they defeated Sweden, which was a weird quarterfinal matchup, like you were talking about, with the uneven brackets. You had Russia, Croatia, Sweden, England on one side, whereas the other side, Uruguay, France, Brazil, Belgium. Any of those four teams could have won the thing.
Yeah, France, Argentina was on that side.
Yeah, so the very uneven, the way it shook down, but, that's just how it rolls sometimes.
So, Zipak, are you going to be tweeting out where folks can join the handsome half of the Screamers Howlers podcast for the final, for the World Cup final?
Oh, well, Mully's on vacation, if that's what you're referring to.
It's not.
Oh. He's usually known as the handsome half. Well, I will be watching it, I think, at Fat Poor over
okay.
on Division.
It's a fine
okay.
bar.
Yeah. Normally, Cleo's is my spot over on Chicago and Damon. That's like my long time.
It's packed, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a little too.
Cleo's, huh? I've never been there.
There's a couple of texts in saying, hey, we should come by AJ Hudson's. And that's a home game for me.
That's a little bit closer to you.
So yeah. packed.
Oh, I mean, that place is going to be absolutely packed as well.
I tried
Most
to watch England.
Will be.
I tried to watch England Columbia there
Can't.
And was denied
Can't.
At the door.
Can't. Test your fan credentials on the way in.
Yeah, well, I had to do some work. I couldn't just completely blow it off as I've tried.
Rich, I started going to Cleo's because back in like 2013 when I first started here at The Score, I would work Friday overnight, Saturday overnight. So I would be off work at 6 in the morning, and by that time, I'm ready for a beverage, obviously.
Yeah. Clearly.
So the games start at 6:30. I go straight from here to Cleo's, and that's kind of how the relationship was fostered. And I do go, it's kind of my go-to, but for this particular instance and throughout the tournament, it's been incredibly packed. So if you don't get there early, you might want to find a different spot.
Your mention of Fat Poor takes me back to 2014 because the American Outlaws Bar in Chicago was Small Bar, which is right near there,
right,
and no longer exists. They tried to pack you tried to pack the entire U.S. soccer fan club, you know, the most rabid money paying members of the fan club into Small Bar. It wasn't the ideal layout. They're now at Timmy O'Toole's. We are now at Timmy O'Toole's, I should say.
That's right, because we believe that we will win, right?
Well, next time.
We'll talk a little bit with Paul Tenorio of The Athletic about the World Cup final at 12:40. But while we had Z-Pack, I figured we'd, you know, use him because he likes that kind of thing. Thanks, Kev.
Love to be used. Thank you.
We'll come back with a little bit more baseball conversation. Like I mentioned, Jason Stark kind of wrote some things up about the first half of the season, giving his awards out to the top and bottom, you know, NL Cy Young and NL Cy Yuck. And there is a Chicago Cub on one half of that list. It's the list. It's the side of the list that you might expect, but it might not be the pitcher you expect that's on this list. I have that discussion and a couple of good texts in as well to 67011. Your phone call is always welcome, 312-644-6767. He's Rich Campbell in for Dan Bernstein. I'm Connor McKnight. You got 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's the Bernstein and McKnight Show, 9-1. Here on 670 The Score, I'm Connor McKnight. He is Rich Campbell. You can find him on Twitter at @Rich_Campbell. A couple of things to get to. We've got some meat left on the Bears bone. We always do. There's always plenty of Bears to talk, especially as we are less than a week away from camp starting. And I know the Chicago Tribune had assembled its hive mind of Bears writers yesterday at the new offices, right?
That's right.
I passed Colleen Kane on the street on my way out, and she was going in. I said, Bears meeting, huh? She said, yep, big one. So we're going to peek behind the curtain of what the Tribune plans for the Bears season, for Bears camp in a little bit.
And we could use some reader help with this.
You want some input?
Well, we'll take some input.
You want to crowdsource
a coverage question of ours. Okay. You want to throw it at him now?
No, hold on, this is a tease. We'll give you this tease. You've been fantastic here the last 3 days, setting things up and knocking them down here radio style. So we'll set that as a tease and bring the bite a little bit later on. We've been talking about the rotation of the Chicago Cubs. It's a Tyler Chatwood start. So I think what that does is, I think quite honestly what that does is just offer a referendum on the starting pitching over and over again every 5 days. And to a certain degree, Jason Stark did a little bit of that in his piece on The Athletic, where he did, and he's been doing this for a lot of years. I mean, I think since the mid-90s, he's done the AL LVP of the half and the MVP of the half, the Cy Young of the half, and the Cy Yuck as well. And I mentioned
runaway LVP.
Has it been a rough year for Dexter Fowler, even with everything else that's been going around him. The NL Cy Yuck of the first half from Jason Stark belongs to a Chicago Cub. It is not, however, it is not Tyler Chatwood. It is Yu Darvish.
Okay.
According to Jason
Stark. I, of course, guessed Chatwood, but asterisk on you.
Nothing wrong with guessing that and seeing where it goes. And remember, I don't offer this necessarily as a shot to what the Cubs have. I'm not offering it as a shot to a team that I think still has the gas and the talent to win an NL Central. It's given what the Brewers may or may not do, I still think with a big ad in Milwaukee, that Cubs team has enough offense in it, has enough talent in it, has enough rebound in it that it can be an NL Central winner. But here's what Stark offers about Yu Darvish. When your stuff is as dazzling as Yu Darvish's stuff, you're supposed to win Cy Young Awards, not Cy Yucks. But rarely in modern Cy Yuck annals has a man this talented managed to parlay that into so much underachievement. That's fair. So let's sum up what the Cubs have gotten so far from their $126 million investment. Exactly 8 starts, totaling 40 innings. 1 win credited to Darvish. 3 starts in 3 months in which Darvish has made it past the 5th inning. 0 starts in 3 months in which Darvish has made it beyond the 6th inning. Granted, he isn't currently healthy. A sore triceps turned into an inflamed elbow, which turned into a cortisone shot, which left the Cubs totally uncertain when they'll see their biggest acquisition of this offseason throw another pitch. But this is about more than health. Listen to one longtime front office man talk about what he's seen. I don't know if he loses focus, but his stuff is so good, you see him go out for 1 or 2 or 3 innings, and he's just dominant. Next thing you know, he can't get out of an inning, and he gets beat. You see, guys, even on his own staff, who don't have nearly that good of stuff, but they know how to make pitches. They have a plan. And they go through a lineup. Then he goes out there with much better stuff, and all of a sudden he just loses it. That's the end of the quote. Someday, Stark says, maybe Darvish can convince people like this. He has the presence, the focus, and fortitude to pitch up to his potential. But for now, he's pitched himself right into Cy Yuckery, which you got to hand it to him. He sticks with his bit. I think some of that is founded on Yu Darvish. I think we've seen some of that happen. Remember, as he was healthy and up to, you know, a decent start where I think he did go five and finish things out, there was that one inning, that fifth inning in three straight starts, maybe four straight starts, where things came off the rails. There was a balk call that led to a walk. There was a walk of a starting pitcher that led to things unraveling there. And conversations with Jim Hickey, the Cubs pitching coach, here on the Mully and Hanley show, as they have him every morning, revolved around what it was going to take to get him to get through that one hiccup inning that he seemed to keep having.
So I go back to the offseason and how long he was unsigned. And remember, we were talking about Arrieta and you and where were the Cubs going to put their money, and figured they would go at one of them. This is a scouting issue in terms of at least acquiring him, because now we're obviously in this position looking at the way the Cubs rotation is constructed, and we've talked about how they counted on him to slot everybody, right? I mean, you pay for him to be at the front of your rotation, slot everybody in the right spot.
No doubt.
Okay, if you now, and maybe the Cubs don't agree with this assessment, but I think you're saying it's fair, and I agree with you that okay, then you can't, it's not just a health thing, it's a mental thing. So you're going to have to account for that, right? You're going to have to fix that with him in addition now to getting his arm right.
Yeah, there's been a lot of conversation, whether it was because of what Chris Jimenez had said about Yu Darvish and his mental state, whether it was the conversations that he had with reporters after a rehab start in South Bend and not really knowing what his arm and elbow felt like. I've actually been weirdly encouraged by the way Yu Darvish talks about himself. It's my opinion that if we're going to be a fan base of whatever sport and whatever team and whatever player, right? If we're going to be the sports consumers that want more honesty from our athletes, that want integrity, well, I suppose integrity is not the right word. Honesty and lack of cliche, less cliches. Yeah,
being forthright.
Yeah, forthright. That's a great way to put it. If we want that from our athletes, then when we get it, let's not immediately question toughness. Let's not immediately question motive. Let's ask the follow-up question.
Sure.
You know, I mean, receive what you want, let's ask next, okay, what do you mean by that? What kind of context does this have? That's made harder by Yu Darvish going through a translator the way he does. That's nobody's fault. That's absolutely no one's fault. It's just a little tougher to understand the context is all.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, as you look at that type of player, a guy who has struggled and been hurt, then it becomes more difficult to see through the cipher. And to be quite honest, you look at his last, the texter has a decent enough point. This from the 773, Darvish's last four starts, a 3.1 ERA, a batting average of 200 against, 12.5 strikeouts per nine. And that's true. But in those starts, he got into the sixth, then he came out after 4 1/3, then he came out after 4, and then he came out after 6. The aggregate is fine, and the stuff is good, but I think, you know, part of the stuff where Stark has quoted this longtime front office man talking about Darvish, the confusion around what he is and what he isn't is a very divisive split, right? Whether it's scouts or whether it's execs or whether it's fans or whether it's his fellow players, there's a split on this guy.
So go back to what we were talking about during transition then about which player you want to be at, let's say, normal level, whatever you want to call normal level. You still are going to have those questions then about you.
I don't know. That 2013 Yu Darvish looks pretty decent to
me. Well, what's normal then? You're going
to
go back that far?
2014 Yu Darvish looks good to me. The 2017 Yu Darvish looks pretty decent to me, okay, especially so you signed his nine starts in L.A.
You signed the 2017 one,
yeah,
right?
You did.
You're not signing the 2013
one. No, you're absolutely right.
Now, the end of 2017, those World Series starts don't look good.
No, but the other playoff starts
do. They do.
I think it's It's a guy who can absolutely, who can stabilize you. It's a guy you can pin your hopes on. The question of whether when he can return healthy leads the Cubs to ask a few more questions than I think they'd like to have to ask come deadline time. Set out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. In Oak Park, it is Bob. What's up, Bob?
Hey, I just wanted to say I realize this choice between who should get a Cy Yuck, whether it's Tyler Deadwood or you wish, is kind of hard. But to me, the award goes to the guy who causes you the most grief, and the guy who's caused you the most grief is Deadwood because you wish hasn't been pitching that much. If Chatwood had pitched as little as Darvish, you know, I'd give it to Darvish.
Bob, you stay up late thinking of those names?
No, I'm a crossword puzzle constructor. This stuff just comes to me.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate the phone call, man.
Crossword
constructor. Constructor. You may know Dan. Dan's a hardcore crossword guy. I understand Bob's point that the guy who's been there and you've watched affect the bullpen has caused you more angst, but the fact that Darvish hasn't been means Chatwood has to be there too. I mean, this is it comes to a level of choice, right? It comes to the things that Len Casper has talked about on the station this week that boy, you might see the Tyler Chatwood experience as it's been constructed in the first half have to get built back from square one somehow, or taken back to a DL stint where you can work on things in the minor leagues and go back to, you know, mechanics and delivery and really try and iron some things out. Problem of that is,
who's your option?
Find your fifth starter.
Yeah.
You still have to have a guy who can take the ball. And if you've already asked Mike Montgomery for as much as he could give you, and to his credit, he's given you quite a bit and a stabilizing presence in that rotation, though there have been a couple of iffy starts in his last handful, certainly not what it was in his first six. How could he possibly be, though? He's been a decent starter.
So if Tyler Chatwood is in a position where basically the Cubs are stuck around him until Darvish is healthy and pitching, this goes to why the series in San Francisco felt better to Cubs fans than 1 and 2. It's because now the burden falls on the other guys in the rotation to keep the bullpen's workload to a minimum, right? And to go 7 innings and make sure that you can, knowing you're going to need arms in Chatwood starts and maybe even Montgomery, depending on whether he can sort of recapture the form that he had when he first entered the rotation,
right,
that those guys are going to have to carry the water for you.
He's Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune in for Dan Bernstein. The last 3 days this week, it's been a pleasure having him. I'm Connor McKnight. Segment brought to you by Grapes from California. If you want something nutritious, tasty, and good for the whole family, then go with Grapes. Serve Grapes from California fresh or frozen, sauteed or skewered. Find them at your neighborhood Fresh Time. When we come back after the update, our guy, Jay Zawoski, who has the day off, is working. He's working the day off, and that is because Marian Hossa has been traded from the Blackhawks. An old friend comes back. Vinny Hinostroza leaves. It's a cap-clearing move that's got some questions around it still. Might also cure some things for the Blackhawks, too, at least things that need to be cured. We'll talk with Jay when we get back here on the Bernstein McKnight Show, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.